is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're back here on Live Bet Sunday, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Dustin Sweetelson, Will Hill, taking you through the afternoon action for a couple of hours here. As the baseball's been pretty interesting to start things out. Coming up in about 15 minutes, Edward Egros going to join us. We'll talk a little MLB, but I want to get his thoughts on the Stanley Cup Final as well, because, Will, I've gotten way into the Oilers and Panthers. One, I love a Canadian team being in the mix. It's always fascinating, the opportunity to taunt our neighbors to the north if they don't win the Cup again. But I've kind of turned a corner where I want them to win. However, I think Florida's the better team in this series. We'll talk to Ed about that. Right now, sweating a Baltimore Orioles bet, they're losing to the A's. And the score, 4-1, but Baltimore's got two runners on right now with one out in the third. Current numbers have the A's laying 258 plus 191 with the Orioles. In-game total is 13.5. But I'm being mocked, Will, because my least favorite thing when I'm betting on a team is to have to hear the broadcasters from the other team while I'm sweating out the bet. And the A's announcers, I'm sure they're fine people. They're doing a good job. But having to hear them, like, really emphasizing when something good happens for the A's,
I'm with you.
It just stabs you in the heart.
I'm even weirder. If I have an under, I will switch back and forth to whichever team's pitching in the home broadcast.
I get it.
So I feel like we're all on the same side. And if you've ever been to a sporting event live and bet on the road team where it's like packed, that is one of the worst feelings in the world. Everybody's rooting against you. When something bad happens, it feels even worse. So I totally understand where you're coming from.
Yeah, it's if you have the opportunity to choose the broadcast, you always choose whoever it is you bet on. If you bet the under, you got to do what Will does. You got to quick maneuver with the fingers there. A quick update in the college baseball. I should note, Arkansas still up 7-1. Looks like the fifth inning there on Tennessee. So should they hold on here, unless there's some crazy inning from Tennessee, Arkansas should be going to Omaha, but still a lot of baseball left to be played. Rockies had a chance with Estrada up and the bases loaded in the bottom of the fifth, Will, to make this a two-run game if he could have hit a grand slam. Instead, he pops out to first base, and now the Mets are up in the top of the sixth inning, leading 8-2. You can't even bet on the Mets anymore. You can get 22-1 on the Rockies if you think the Mets bullpen falls apart on the road there in Denver. Some updates from some scores that we haven't looked at yet. Blue Jays and the Twins. Minnesota up 6-3, Will. Right now, it's in the ninth inning. So last chance for Toronto to get theirs. Total 9.5. 22-1 if you think Toronto pulls it off on the money line. But Joe Ryan and the Minnesota Twins, I wrote them off early. I know they lost Pablo Lopez, but they've been a much better team than I anticipated this season.
I'm with you. I never really trust these central teams. I don't know what to make of them. Last postseason was a perfect example of all the Tigers and the Royals and the Guardians. They all get in, and none of them advance. I don't really buy them. But, look, that's a good bullpen. Ryan at the top is good. You know, got some of those position players are talented, but they got to keep healthy. So you got to come up with six American League playoff teams. So they're probably one of the six. I don't know. If I put you on the spot right now and said, give me the six playoff teams, it's easy to come up with two: Yankees, Tigers. Who do you think wins the West, and who are the three wild cards? There's not six really good teams in the American League. The Blue Jays, who, it's funny, I looked at them before the season. I liked them, but I saw yes to make the playoffs, like plus 250. I was like, I was hoping for like 4-1, 5-1. It's the Blue Jays. I don't really trust them. But Scherzer is their number five. We knew he'd get hurt, but it shows you they got pretty good pitching. If Max Scherzer could be your five, of course he did get hurt. Didn't take very long, but that's not a bad team. They got a shot to make the playoffs. You're going to get a couple of these teams from the Central. How would you – we'll put the Yankees in. We'll put the Tigers in. Who are the other four teams in the American League?
Okay, one, I fell for the Blue Jays thing like 3 years in a row. They were the team that was next up for so long. I stopped betting them. I don't trust them. I also don't trust them to finish the job here. I can't do it with – they're not a serious organization. I don't take them seriously. As good as they've been, maybe benefactors because that division – has been, you know, the Red Sox and the Orioles have been surprisingly bad this year. I think that kind of evens out later in the year. So we have the Yankees. We have the Tigers. We unfortunately have a team from the West. I'm still not buying Houston. I know they're leading that division. I think Seattle ends up winning that. The thing that blows my mind is Texas. You touched on it earlier where we all assumed Texas was going to be a team that was a playoff team this year. If anything that was going to fail the Rangers this year, I thought it was going to be the pitching, not the hitting. Pitching's been fine. The hitting's been the issue, and I don't know how you fix that. Like, Adolis Garcia is a big key, and that guy looks like a shell of himself. Like, the guy we saw a couple years ago, I don't think is walking through the door anytime soon. I'm going to give you a long shot, and that's the team that we've been talking about because we have a bet on a player in there. I think the Kansas City Royals are going to make the playoffs. I think they're going to be a dangerous out. So, couple things to note. One, the pitching has gotten better because Chris Bubik all of a sudden is an ace, and he's a guy they were high on for a few years, right? They have the other kid, Cameron, who's been good. They have the depth with guys like Lugo and Waka in that rotation. I think they have plenty of arms. And Caglione is 4-for-4 today. And I don't want to be a prisoner of the moment and act like he's going to be 4-for-4 every night. But this is a special middle-of-the-order bat, and if he's finding his own and the game's going to slow down for him, that adds a piece where him and Pasquantino, guy like Michael Garcia is having an awesome season for them, and obviously Bobby Witt is an MVP candidate. I think they have enough offense right now. I think the Kansas City Royals are going to be a playoff team. They're plus 160 over at DraftKings to make the postseason. I think the combination of some pitchers stepping up for them this year, the addition of Caglione to lengthen that lineup, they're a more all-around team that I think could add a bullpen piece or two or a bench guy or two at the deadline, and they could be a dangerous team to make the postseason. What do you think of that?
All right, so we got Seattle, and we got Kansas City. We got the Yankees and the Tigers. We still need two more.
I think I have to go Houston, unfortunately. I'm just not blown away by them. They're good. They're good. And then the question is, are we going to go with the East or the Central? Do I go crazy and say the Baltimore Orioles? Because that's one of those preseason ones that I can't quit. The Orioles right now are 10-1 to make the playoffs. I mean, they're way far back. They're 13 out of first in the American League East.
I thought about them, too. I mean, it's a lot back. They're 11 under. They're losing today. They don't have great pitching, to say the very least.
Not,
I mean, their pitching's been awful.
I know, but like,
I get it.
But like, Grayson Rodriguez, reinforcements are coming for the Orioles.
When's he going to pitch, though? He's always hurt. He just never comes back. Is he close?
They also potentially could get one of the guys they lost last year back from injury. I think Wells or Bradish, one of them could be on the horizon maybe late in the second half as like an addition. But I also am waiting for them in Seattle to pick up the phone and be like, hey, you need a hitter? Hey, you need a pitcher? Let's make a deal. Yeah. Like, it just seems so obvious that they need to trade one of these guys that they don't have a spot to play every day, these young prospects in Baltimore that's a hitter, and swap them for an arm with Seattle, who desperately needs some help from the offensive side of things. I want to say I can't say Toronto. I can't say Tampa Bay. I'm not doing the Red Sox thing. I guess I have to say the Guardians, and I don't like the Guardians very much this year.
It's not. I mean, the National League is just so much better than the American League. Now, look, the NL West has come back down to earth. The Dodgers haven't played great recently. I know they're winning today 7-3. They got shut out the past couple days. Or I lost 2-1 yesterday, but they were getting shut out up until the ninth inning. You know, Padres have been disappointing. Giants, I think there's a ceiling there. Arizona's been very disappointing. Padres haven't played well, so – I don't know. Should be fun. Baltimore 10-1. I thought of it too. It just feels like one of those ones where you bet it and you're gonna sit there and look at your account in a month or two and say, why the hell did I bet on this team?
No, I know.
I just don't know that the pitching's coming back soon enough.
No, I know. But look, they also can't play worse than they have, right? It's a conundrum with Baltimore because they should be so much better. But we've seen this with baseball time and time again. A team will go on a run that we're counting out right now. And we'll find themselves in the playoff picture in the final 2 weeks of the season. It happens every year. So I'm not going to be surprised if it's Baltimore. However, today against the A's, things are not going well for Sugano. A's up 4-1 in the third, and they just got the leadoff hitter on base. So they're threatening once again where they're knocking Sugano around, who is a contact guy, so he gets a lot of ground balls. Could still find himself a double play in his back pocket. But right now the A's – doing some good work offensively. Let's see in Anaheim. Want to get you an update on the score there because I know I have a few live bets when it comes to player props. And I think the Angels, something's going on. Someone's complaining about a strike three. That's what it was. Mike Trout's at the dish. Two outs right now for the Angels in the bottom of the fourth. Seattle's up 1-0. Minus 257 road favorites right now. Plus 190 the other way when it comes to the Angels. In-game total, 6.5, Will. 6.5 feels lower. I don't really trust that Angel bullpen. Anything could happen. I don't know if I do anything there, but that number did jump out to me.
Yeah, interesting. Also keep an eye here on the college. UCLA up 2-0 over UTSA. UCLA looking to get back to Omaha. And what do we have here? Tennessee, Arkansas. Do you have eyes on that? It was 7-1 last we checked.
Yeah, it's still 7-1. Flipping around here. 7-1, sixth inning. So, I mean, they're sitting in a good spot, Arkansas. They scored a couple runs on a pass ball, and things opened up in the fourth inning for them, playing a few runs. And the defending champs on the ropes here in the sixth, where they could potentially not go back to Omaha to defend their title. So we'll see how that plays out here as teams from the SEC, the ACC, they've been awesome this year when it comes to college baseball. Want to know where the money's going on all the bets you're thinking about placing? Well, you got to check out the VSiN.com betting splits. Unlike other sources, our betting splits come straight from Circa and the DraftKings Sportsbooks, giving you insight into where the sharp action is landing. Circa's known for taking sharper big bets from pro bettors, while DraftKings gives you a broader market perspective. That means you're getting the real action, not just public money, but the kind of wagers that move lines. See the percentage of bets versus percentage of handle on every game across every major sport. It'll help make you a smarter bettor. Get VSiN's exclusive betting splits for as little as $9.99 for your first month over at VSiN.com/subscribe. It's the Red Sox at the Yankees with Sunday Night Baseball. Tomorrow, the Stanley Cup Final. We'll have Game 3. To break all of that down, Edward Egros going to join us on the other side of the break of Live Bet Sunday.
Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back at it on Live Bet Sunday. This is VSiN, the sports betting network. Dustin Sweetelson, Will Hill, taking you through the afternoon action where, while we were away, right before we went to break, I said, you know, I don't trust that score in Mariners Angels. In-game total was 6.5. We hit the commercial break. Boom, Taylor Ward, two-run homer, flips the script, Will. Angels now up 2-1 on Seattle, where I think it may be worth the play on the Mariners and George Kirby at plus 122. We can look at that and more with our next guest here. He is Ed Egros, FanDuel West, and Ed with Sports Substack, at Ed with Sports over on X. He joins us now on the Progressive Guest Line. Ed, appreciate you doing this as always. Just want to get your thoughts on what's happening with baseball today. Feels like we've had some fun games, some runs being scored. Anything jump out to you so far this afternoon?
Well, you were mentioning the Angels a little bit earlier, and I think what stands out to me is that, first off, Taylor Ward does this, right? Like, just because you may besmirch the Angels doesn't necessarily mean that they don't have some really powerful hitters. And so this may be an opportunity for the Angels just to kind of surprise everybody a little bit, especially given that Seattle may be overperformers through this point of the season. So definitely, you know, if I'm looking at ball clubs right now, that may be one that may be regressing to the mean just a little bit. So that definitely is interesting. Other thing too is that when you're looking at the Dodgers here, you know, being based out of LA, I think what's really fascinating here is that Clayton Kershaw, fantastic outing for him, and the Dodgers need him to be that way. With the bad news to Tony Gonsolin, he's on the injured list. Fortunately for him, the UCL is intact. But this is going to be a situation where all of those arms that were poised to be relied upon will have to step up for LA going forward. At least for the most part, they were able to do, you know, really Kershaw was able to do that today. But this is going to be an interesting story going forward as far as the injuries to this Dodgers rotation and when there may be some opportunities to still back them, even though the reputation certainly isn't good.
Ed, first off, great use of the word besmirched. I didn't want that to go unacknowledged, so I wanted to get that out there. We've been talking about these disappointing teams that we thought playoff teams, maybe deep playoff teams. I'll throw them at you. There's five of them. Red Sox, Rangers, Orioles, Diamondbacks, and Braves. Sellers, do any of these make a run? Just give me your thoughts here on these five teams that have been very, very disappointing so far.
Okay, so the Rangers in particular are fascinating to me because how is it all of a sudden that they just can't hit, right? Like they make a change in terms of, you know, offensive coaching, and that doesn't quite matter all that much. And even though the pitching has been phenomenal for Texas, for some reason, these same hitters who could be relied upon for, you know, the last couple of years suddenly can't hit all of a sudden. And so that's going to be interesting to me as far as, do they need some additional time to figure out whatever the heck is going on? Do they need the weather to get warmer even though they play in a dome? I don't know what's going on with them. So that to me is an interesting one. I don't know if I would call them sellers just yet. But, you know, what's fascinating to me is that, like, because of what Detroit did last year, I don't know if there's necessarily an outright seller in that particular group, because at least all of them, with the exception of maybe Baltimore, I think all of them could be poised for a bit of a run. I wouldn't be surprised if those four, you know, outside of Baltimore, you know, could put things together. Orioles, you know, it may be too little too late, especially with how competitive that division is. The Red Sox, you know, we'll talk about them, I'm sure, in a little bit. But, you know, certainly there's some things that they are doing that are quite positive. But still, though, this may be a deal where there may not be an outright seller in that particular group. Yes, there are some disappointing things there. But, for instance, like Arizona, would we be surprised if suddenly the small ball they play suddenly all of a sudden comes together? We shouldn't be. I mean, yeah, it's a tough division, but that doesn't mean they can't make a wild card spot.
Ed Egros is our guest on the Progressive Guest Line. Check out his work, Ed with Sports Substack, FanDuel West, at Ed with Sports over on X. And, Ed, I did place a bet on the Mariners plus $1.25. A Rosarena leadoff single or a single steal second. So, like where we're sitting there, want to shift over to hockey, where I think the Stanley Cup Final has a chance to be an epic one. We've had two incredible games, both going to overtime. Game three isn't until tomorrow. Oilers plus +120. Panthers, the home favorite, minus -142. 6.5 is the total. Panthers have been awesome on the road, right? Oilers had been awesome at home. How do you think the numbers look when they price this one? I love Florida. I think they win the series, but minus -142 based on the action we've seen through two games feels a little heavy to me. What do you think?
I think a lot of that comes down to really two things. Number one, your basic home ice, right? We like Paul Maurice as a head coach. We like what he can do as far as line adjustments are concerned, the fact that he'll be choosing second. All that stuff is fine. And I can understand why there may be the belief that Florida can win game three. I think the other thing, too, is that, you know, Stuart Skinner, you know, getting a little bit roughed up in game two, certainly wasn't the better netminder in that marathon game, though I still felt like he played fairly well. I mean, you look at the advanced numbers, Sergei Bobrovsky, he was fantastic in that outing, despite allowing four goals. So I think the goalie difference and the fact that the Panthers will have the necessary advantages at home, I can understand why the price is where it is. But I also completely agree with you that they're too much of a favorite in a situation like this. I think when we're evaluating Stuart Skinner here, it's not that he can't play at a Bobrovsky level. He just can't do it consistently. He is going to have some bad games in this series. The question is, can Edmonton just outscore Florida in those kinds of games? I'm not sure they can. But also, too, you know, it's not going to be every single time. You know, Skinner is going to look fantastic in the most random of situations. And especially when you're getting a better price for a game three, I think that's the time to pounce to take the Oilers.
How about the NBA here, Ed? The Pacers continue to be just a sports movie, ridiculous with all the comebacks. OKC laying 11 seems like a lot of points. Where do you sit with this game two? Where do you sit with this series?
On the one hand, you look at, you know, this clutchness that the Pacers have, and it definitely calls into question, like, is clutchness an actual thing? I, you know, think that it is, and so certainly it's something where Indiana, if you're live betting them, you might as well keep on going at this rate. Like, you know, that you've got your own methodology, so you might as well stick with it. But on the other hand, though, when you look at sort of the history of the NBA playoffs, blowouts are likelier to happen than compared with the regular season. And so the fact that the number is large as it is shouldn't really scare you off if you do like the Thunder, which I think they can win this game. I mean, at some point, you know, all those turnovers that they're able to manufacture, I think at some point that does come back to haunt the Pacers. And there may very well be a game or two where Indiana's just run out of whatever building they're playing in. So the number doesn't scare me too much. I do think, though, that if you still want to side with the Pacers, you might as well take them on the money line because, again, for some reason, whatever Halliburton has in his bloodstream seems to be working. That clutchness gene, whatever it is, that's something where, you know, the guy is dangerous, no doubt about it. I mean, he's doing things that we've never seen before in terms of clutchness in NBA history. So either take the Thunder, which I will do, or just take the Pacers on the money line and hope for a massive payout.
Yeah, Halliburton's already had more marquee playoff moments than Chris Paul and James Harden combined in their careers, and Halliburton's got plenty more time to go. Eddie Gross is our guest. Want to get your thoughts here on Sunday Night Baseball. Red Sox-Yankees, not quite the buzz we're used to. Hunter Dobbins takes the hill for Boston, plus 196. Carlos Rodon, a big favorite, minus 245. That total is 8. How would you look to attack that one?
Side and total, I'm not too interested in, but there are some props that I really, really like in this one, in part because Hunter Dobbins for the Red Sox, good velocity on that fastball, good control. He doesn't walk very much, doesn't allow that high of a barrel rate. And so to me, if the Red Sox lose this game or Dobbins gets roughed up, it's probably going to be death by a thousand singles. Bigger concern for him is when he faces left-handed hitters, resorts to that curveball a little bit more, and I don't think that pitch is ready for prime time just yet. Not enough horizontal break for me to feel comfortable that's a pitch that I think can do some real damage. So to me, I'm going to be looking at left-handed sluggers for the Yankees to see where I can pounce. And I like Ben Rice in this game, leading things off, more bites at the apple, 2+ total bases at plus 125. Maybe not the hitter that you think of in terms of the Giants that the Yankees have, but I do think that Ben Rice could very well have a fantastic outing here. And then I think on the other side, Carlos Rodon, there may be a little bit of value if you want to sprinkle in some Cy Young futures on him. He's behind Fried and Hunter Brown in terms of Cy Young predictors, things like that. But when your breaking ball value and your fastball value are in the 95 percentiles, you're pretty special. And I think that could very well remain consistent. 8+ strikeouts, I think that's around even money. I think he can get to that number. He may only have 6 innings to do it in, but I still think he's very capable here.
Ed, this is why we love you. I co-sign all of it. I texted Will this morning, just bet Rodon 33-1 for Cy Young, and I've got him on his over K prop tonight. So we think alike. That makes me feel good because you're a smart guy. You can follow all of his work, FanDuel West, Edwith Sports Substack, and, of course, on Twitter, X, at Edwith Sports. Thanks, as always, for doing this, man.
Appreciate you.
Man, that was good stuff.
Thanks,
Eddie Gross has great numbers, great information, great ways to attack, and he gave you something with every sport. So you didn't hear the whole conversation, of course, the VSiN Watch app after the show. Go back, listen, anytime, any place. Feeling good about a live wager we just placed? I'll update you that on that and more when we return on Live Bet Sunday.
This is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
I don't know. Will Hill's got some kind of magic. Every time I do shows with him, my live betting is so much better. Welcome back in. It's Live Bet Sunday. VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. While we were talking to Ed Egros last segment, I said I like the Mariners plus 120. I look up. They take the lead. And now with 2 outs, they've got the bases loaded, taking on a reliever right now. Tyler Anderson's been knocked out of this game. But, Will, when I'm at home betting, my live betting's horrendous. When I'm sitting here with you and I'm at the D, somehow my live betting luck is just better. We have a long way to go, but I feel good about my situation. So thank you, my friend.
Yeah, I don't think I deserve the credit. You had a good call here. As the base is loaded, 2-out situation is going to end, pop up here. Strickland gets out of it. It looked like the second baseman for the Angels couldn't find the ball until he did. 9 hits already for the Mariners and 3 runs. The Angels with 2 runs on 2 hits. So interesting line score there. But a good call so far, getting the plus money. And you know, we do this more with the NBA where you can just take whatever team's down a run or two or you know, losing at the time and anticipate they'll make a run, and you can play some both sides on plus money. So good idea for you to jump in on the Mariners plus price. Any other tricks up your sleeve here? Orioles, I know you liked them before the game. Them at a plus price here. Can they make a run in this small ballpark in Sacktown?
Well,
Jacob Lopez shutting this lineup down, which is not something either of us really saw coming.
Here's the problem. If I wanted to attack that game right now, by the way, it's about 3.5 to 1 you can get on the Orioles, -549 on the A's. It's 4-1 Athletics in the fifth. Total's 9.5. My instinct initially was over on the 9.5, but here's the problem, Will. It means it will be a rare Mason Miller sighting in Sacramento. That eliminates one inning of scoring runs there. You know,
yeah, he hasn't been that good, though.
I know, but he's still got a big arm. It totals now 10.5, so I must have missed something. Something must be happening on this next play. It's back down to 9.5. I don't know what's going on there, but it's fluctuating at the moment. Maybe other people like me thinking overs the play as Jacob Lopez is out of the game. Maybe that's what it is. The bridge from Lopez getting to the back end of that bullpen, we could potentially see some more runs. Sean Newcomb on the hill now for the A's. Angels, Braves legend. I think some time with the Red Sox as well. So
former All-Star, I believe.
I think he was it the No, it wasn't COVID season.
Nah, year or two before that, 2018, 2019, he was a big-time prospect, lefty for the Braves, had a good – it's weird in baseball. You can really just have a good couple of months. They announced the All-Stars in late June, early July, really late June. So if you just have a good April, May, half of June, you can find yourself on an All-Star team. If you go back and look at some of the guys that made the All-Stars, it's not like the NBA All-Star team where there's some flukiness with the baseball All-Stars. I believe he did make an All-Star team too.
No, it's weird with the – because then when we send these guys to Cooperstown, we go like 9-time All-Star, right? Well,
right.
How many guys just had really great first halves? Not necessarily of the Hall of Fame types, but like we're giving them the there was a point where Brian Roberts was the first half MVP for the Baltimore Orioles, and then his contact lenses got banned, and he became an average player again. So it's very weird how like that matters for like historical numbers and how we separate some of these guys. And it's literally just, did you have a good half a season? You're on the All-Star team. All right, some scores from around Major League Baseball right now. We mentioned the Mariners 3-2 in the fifth on top of the Angels. -243 on Seattle, +181 on the Angels. It was about 2-1 a minute ago, and I was like, you know what? Do I just go 2-1 on that and like walk away like up either way if I do the math right? Nah, I'll leave it. I'll ride my Seattle bet all the way through. 4-1, A's on top of the Orioles, as we mentioned. Spencer Strider back out for the sixth, and he's going to get through it. So he's thrown, my bet loses. He has completed six innings of work.
Jeez.
Spencer Strider. How many pitches did it take him to get there? Let's see. We're at 90 pitches he got there. So I lose that bet. That one hurt because he was getting knocked around a little bit, but figures
it
out. End of the sixth in San Francisco. You've got the Giants up 4-3. If you like the Braves and that bullpen that's about to come in that's gotten lit up over the last week, they're +238. You think the Giants hold on, -332. That total is 9.5 there. This game's still going on. I don't know. Was there a weather delay that I missed? Rangers up 4-2 on the Nationals in D.C. right now in the eighth inning. And heavy favorites, -1,000 are Texas, +572 on Washington. In-game total, 6.5. That's where we stand there. And the Mets and Rockies still doing battle in the seventh. 10-2, Mets on top. 66-1 is the number if you like the Colorado Rockies, Will. That juicy enough for you?
The same number Carlos Alcaraz was when he was facing triple match point, triple championship point, which stunningly got home, man. That's one where you just see it after. You say, man, why couldn't I have just thrown you a couple $100 on that?
Because you know,
very happy,
you know the second you bet that, it eliminates the possibility of it happening. I know there's no like way I can prove that, but I can tell you every time I've ever bet something live at such a big number, it has not hit. It never hits. But if you don't, it'll hit every time. And Alcaraz goes on, wins the French Open earlier today, came back down two sets, was 66-1, 55-1 at certain books, wins the French Open, took over 5 hours, his second straight win at Roland Garros, fifth Grand Slam at 22 years old, and I've just provided you all the fun facts I know about tennis right now. That's it. I'm tapped out. You got any more fun facts?
I know this. A quick $200 bet on Alcaraz paid a cool $13,000, man. That would have been, man, tough one. Yeah, not that you're thinking at the time, but the crazy things happen in sports, I guess, is the takeaway.
Yeah, college baseball. Arkansas has extended their lead 8-1 on defending national champ Tennessee in the Super Regionals. Winner will go on to Omaha. And Razorbacks aren't done here, Will. One on in the seventh, and they've got two, or one out in the seventh. They have two on. So potentially going to add more, making it harder and harder for the Vols to come back and defend their title out in Omaha. Peyton Manning's favorite city, Omaha, Omaha, as the Orioles ground out. And that will end the fifth, or middle of the fifth.
You teased something earlier, and you haven't followed up on it. I get hungry during these shows for whatever reason. You mentioned having a steak in Omaha, the best you ever had. You care to expand on this? What cut was it? Why was it so good?
Oh, well.
Go ahead.
Do you think the cut was anything other than a porterhouse? What are we talking about here? The place is called The Drover. It's in Omaha. And it was so good, Will. We were there three nights. We had two meals there. In fact, before we went on our flight back home to Washington, D.C., went back to The Drover for lunch and said, don't give us the lunch menus. We want the dinner menus. And we ordered a second big fat porterhouse and then got on a plane and flew home. That's how good that steak was. I don't know what it is, what they do to the cows there in Omaha. They know what they're doing. And I heard Samich and Matt Brown talking about this earlier on Ready Bet. Ready, set, bet. There we go. That's the right order. Bucket list items, right? People want to go to the Masters. You want to go to, like, Indy 500. I think College World Series is making its way into there as one of the spots you want to go to. I can tell you my experience there was awesome. The stadium is incredible. The way it's laid out and set up, they know how to host this big event. They do it every year. They do it right. It's affordable if you have a family. And there's an opportunity to see a lot of young stars. I was talking to you earlier. When I went, I saw Michael Conforto. I saw Carlos Rodon, Trey Turner. I saw future Major League Baseball players. Adam Engel, Chad Green. Like, these dudes went on to the bigs. And I think that's the opportunity you get, is like you can find out who these guys are. And in my case, as a Mets fan, my team in the upcoming draft took Michael Conforto, who I saw just dominate that season. So I think the College World Series is a really cool thing, and I love that we're going to send two of our shows here at VSiN out to Omaha this week, where JVT and Stormy on Money Moves, Mitch and Paul on Follow the Money, they'll make their way to Omaha. And I've suggested to JVT, go to The Drover and get a steak. Question is, will he listen to me? That's the only question.
Man. You sold it pretty well. Who did you go with, by the way? You kept saying we went back there. Who did you go with?
When I was at SiriusXM, when I just covered college sports.
Okay.
It was just one of the things that I covered doing the show there where we did a lot of college baseball before it was cool and trendy. And I just think now with betting, it's become the cool, trendy thing. Like, it's another opportunity to make money. Games are exciting. I don't know about you, but I like bat flips. I like guys celebrating. I'm not a boomer. I know that bothers some people, but I think college baseball is a lot of fun because the personalities shine.
It's a nice time of the year for it, too, where you don't get the NBA and NHL every night. The games are on in the afternoon sometimes. They could do a better job making their sport accessible where you don't have to go to these different apps to watch it, because for these niche sports, you got to go to this app or that app. Just put your games on TV. People want to watch. People want to bet. And people want to bet when it's on TV. They're not going to bet it necessarily if it's not on TV, but no, I agree. It's a really fun sport.
All right, I got to tell you about a deal going on at Circa Las Vegas. The ultimate getaway package, just $400. I literally had to email Bill AD to confirm that this reads correct, because I think they're giving away too much, but apparently Circa wants to do this, so I take advantage of it. $400, you'll get a two-night stay at Circa, $100 dining credit, $100 beverage credit, your own day bed at Stadium Swim. It's all for $400, resort fees and taxes included. Limited time offer through September 4th. Don't miss out. Lock in your all-in summer package now at CircaLasVegas.com. That, for $400, that is a crazy offer. I think I'm going to take advantage of it, and I live here. So, all right, more to come when it comes to Major League Baseball, but NBA Finals. How do we bet OKC tonight? We'll discuss on Live Bet Sunday.
Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We've got Game 2 NBA Finals coming your way 8 p.m. Eastern time tonight. The Pacers at the Thunder, with OKC laying 11 right now. The series has a little bit of unexpected juice, some anticipation that maybe we didn't think about happening at the start of this thing with Indiana stealing game one. Have a lot of thoughts when it comes to game two. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. He's Will Hill, and we're all over everything happening right now. Going to put the baseball to the side for a moment because I think this game two warrants a little bit of buzz here because we're coming off one of the craziest finishes we've ever seen. A historical ending where teams were down, were 0-182 in the NBA Finals, trailing 9-plus points in the final 3 minutes since 1971. And then Tyrese Halliburton and the Pacers took over. They win. And now all of a sudden we see OKC, Will, in a hole. They've lost one. They don't lose two in a row, and they don't lose over the course of a seven-game series very often. What are your expectations for the way the Thunder look tonight?
Yeah, and can you imagine if the Pacers ever won this game the next few days, just heading back to Indy down 2-0? You can't put anything past Indy at this point. I think they're overmatched. I think OKC is a much better team, but you start to have to recalibrate what you think of this Indiana team with the comeback after comeback. By the way, I hate that stat, the 0-182, the 9-plus. Why do we put 9-plus? Because that includes 10-point leads, 20-point leads, 30-point leads. Of course, the team's not going to blow a 20, 30-point lead. It should just be restricted to 9-point leads. But
it's the finals,
still, it doesn't
though.
Take away from
how many finals games have had 20-point leads?
No, but I mean the 9-plus. Why plus?
Yeah, sure.
They were down 9. They were down. They weren't down 9-plus. They were down 10. That's just including games that don't apply. We're including 15, 20, 30-point games in that stat, which aren't relevant.
But it's just like – all of us, I'll include myself in the betting world, where we go, yeah, he's hit this in three of his last four. There's also a reason why I didn't say of his last 12 how he's done, because he hasn't cleared that. You know what I mean? So everyone manipulates the numbers to fit their agenda.
Yeah.
And that's all that's happening there.
Yes, I think that one's particularly egregious just because you're including games that aren't relevant to that. And what they did is just incredible, so there's no need to exaggerate it. It's just so bizarre. It's so, like, you can come up with all the words you want. Stunning, unlikely, unprecedented. None of them do justice to what they've done. What they've done is just incredible. I think OKC wins tonight. I would look to over 120.5 team total. I think they'll play faster. I think they'll look to get into their offense faster, play with a little more pace, a little more zip, because I thought there was just a lot of standing around till 12, 13 seconds left, and then they would, you know, settle for a three, settle for a mid-range jumper. I think they'll be more attacking. I think SGA got a little, the ball started to stick a little bit too. I think they'll be, you know, a little more focused on some quicker offense, some crisper passing. I'd imagine we see Holmgren a little bit more. I'd imagine we see their bigs a little bit more. They got really out-rebounded by a significant margin here in game one. So I think OKC bounces back. Let me ask you, what did you think going into the series? What do you think now in terms of a prediction? I think, you know, the consensus was OKC in five. I thought OKC in four. If you gave me a do-over, I'd probably say OKC in six. Where do you stand here? And has it crossed your mind that a week, 2 weeks from now, we're going to be sitting here talking about the NBA champion Indiana Pacers?
One, the last thing is not happening. I'm sorry. It's cool. It's awesome. They won the game. I give them all the credit in the world. I think they're a really good team. I think they're a really fun team. I think that front office deserves a lot more credit than they're getting the way this has been assembled, because no offense to Wes Reynolds and Indiana, but it's not a destination city for NBA players, right? When the rumors came out that Giannis was looking to go somewhere else, it was Miami and New York and LA. No one's saying, I want to go to Indiana. So you have to be creative and you have to hit on your picks. They've done both. They've hit on picks. They've taken chances on other people, and they've leveraged situations where they had assets to get guys that make sense for what they want to do in trading for guys like Halliburton and Siakam. But they've also drafted really, really well. So I think they deserve a lot of credit. I'll go back a little bit further. I was anti-Oklahoma City and them being quote-unquote inevitable up until midway through the Minnesota series. Then I realized I was wrong. I was doubting the Thunder because, one, I thought that they didn't have a vet to rely on. They're the youngest team around, right, making this run into the finals. I also thought that they were too reliant on SGA, and if he isn't getting it going in the fourth quarter, who picks up the slack there? So those are the two big things for me when it came to the Thunder, and I think both actually showed themselves in game one. Now, I also have to say that I jumped on the Thunder. I thought the Thunder would take care of Indiana in six games. I thought Indiana would get two. I was impressed with them against the Knicks. I thought they were significantly better than the Knicks. Way deeper, better coached, made good adjustments. Their defense was way underrated when it came to the Pacers and the narrative about them being an offensive juggernaut. They are. But their defense really blew me away against the Knicks. They forced a lot of uncharacteristic turnovers when it came to New York. With all that said and done, I think if you are the type of person that's not afraid of being a bridge jumper and laying a big price, minus 300 on the Thunder is an absolute discount. I'm sorry. I don't see any way they don't win this series. I'm not doing it. I'm not laying $800, $1,000 on minus 300. But I think if you're the type of person who does those sort of risks, minus 300 feels like when you'll look back at the end of this and go, yeah, maybe I overthought it, because if we go back to game one, the Thunder dominated for 46 minutes. It was 2 minutes of craziness where Indiana ended up winning that thing. And because of that, I think the Thunder are the better team, and they ended up winning this series.
Yeah, and I would say if you're interested in laying the minus 300, I completely agree. It's a discounted price. It's a good bet. Let's just, for round number's sake, let's just say you bet $100 a game. Don't go laying 300. Don't overbet your bankroll.
Yeah.
Still just risk your 100 to win the 33 and just, you know what, pick up a third of a unit if you win the bet. I think that's the way to approach it. It's okay laying these big money lines. People get in trouble sometimes, you know, just over, they think this, all right, well, I'm laying a big price. That means I have to overbet what I risk. That's a dangerous way to approach it. And that's one where, you know, you get yourself into some trouble, but just, you know what, risk a unit to win a third of a unit. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I tend to agree. OKC wins tonight. I have no interest laying the 11 against this Indiana team. And I don't know, do you think OKC comes out tight, or is this one where they're up 13 at the end of the first quarter and this is a rocking chair win wire to wire?
Well, the market anticipates Oklahoma City to come out and be locked in early. It's an angle that I usually like, a team off of a bad loss like game one, back them in the first half. But you have to pay a tax. The Thunder, 2-2 against the spread, full game off of a postseason loss, 4-0 against the spread in the first half off of a postseason loss. So when I get to the updated number, it was 8 last I looked, and it's still 8. So think about that. Full game, they're laying 11. When it comes to the first half, the Thunder are laying 8. I don't know if I can lay 8.
I
don't know if I can lay the 8.
8's a lot.
That's a lot for a first half. I couldn't do that. I understand why the market's doing what it does. Let's hear from Thunder head coach Mark Daigneault, who knows his team down 0-1 at home game 2. They have to be locked in this situation.
I mean, we have confidence and wisdom because of the situations we've been in over time. There's no team I'm more confident in being ready to play really in any situation than ours. I'm biased, obviously, but you also have to go make it happen. You know, those experiences don't guarantee you anything. They certainly don't carry over into the next experience. And so we've got the wisdom from them. We get the confidence from them. But when the ball goes up in the air tomorrow, the better team's going to win. And we want to do everything we can to be that team.
It's Mark Daigneault, Oklahoma City head coach, meeting with the press, talking about game 2, where the Thunder are laying 11, total 228.5. Will, the question is, how did you feel about the change to the starting lineup that none of us really saw coming, where they put Isaiah Hartenstein on the bench, they end up going with Kayson Wallace into the starting lineup? I think it's getting a lot of criticism because they lost the game, and everyone's forgetting that it worked because they were up big late in the contest. But what do you think of the move from Daigneault? I liked it. What do you say?
I just have a problem from a just general philosophy standpoint. When you're the better team, when you're 80-18 and you're adjusting to your opponent like that, like, play your game. You're at home. You're the better team. Holmgren only getting 23 minutes. Hartenstein only getting 17 minutes. I thought it was a little odd. Mark Daigneault knows a lot more about basketball than I do, so I feel uncomfortable criticizing him. I was surprised by it. I guess I'll put it that way. I was surprised by it.
Yeah, I like the creativity, though, and it seemed like Indiana didn't know what hit him early. Maybe that played a role in Oklahoma City jumping out to a big lead. I don't know, but I like mixing it up. I like throwing people off the scent. The one thing I'd acknowledge, though, Rick Carlisle deserves his flowers. He's done a miraculous job with this Pacers team. Obviously, he won a title in Dallas. He was the guy before the guy in Detroit when Larry Brown came in and won a championship with the Hard Hat Pistons. But Rick Carlisle, over the last few postseasons, I mean, he's taken his game to another level. I love watching his teams play, and I think the Pacers are fun. And I don't think they're just going to go away and die. But I do think in the end, Oklahoma gets right, especially with converting those turnovers into points, something that they struggled with for the first time in game one. I think they right the ship there, and that's why I like them in game two. I like the Pacers team total under. I already told you I like Jalen Williams over his PRA at 32.5. I have two more player props. They're up at VSiN.com/picks. We'll also talk about them about 45 minutes from now on the program. A lot to come still on the show as we enter our final hour. We've got Sunday Night Baseball to look at, a Cy Young prop I think I can convince Will to join me on, and updates from all around Major League Baseball. Plus, did you hear? The Steelers immunized their quarterback ailment. We'll discuss that next on Live Bet Sunday.